This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is your host, Rock Cash. This week on The People Speak, The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144, or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests, toll-free, USA, Canada, 888-429-5471. Tonight we have invited former CIA agent Robert Steele joining us tonight to shed some light on Ebola FEMA camps and what the possibilities, strategies might be used on the American public. We know propaganda is in full force on the mainstream media, but of course this is not mainstream because we are the voice of the people. Robert, welcome to The People Speak. Please fill us in on your background so they have a little understanding of your expertise.
Well, I grew up as the son of an oil man overseas. I spent 4 years on active duty in the Marine Corps, 9 years as a clandestine case officer or spy for the CIA. Then I went back to the Marine Corps to create the Marine Corps Intelligence Activity, a new National Intelligence Processing Center. And then I left the Marine Corps in 1993 to become a CEO doing worldwide commercial intelligence for the U.S. Special Operations Command.
Commercial intelligence? Can you fill us in on that? In other words, using the media to work the minds of the people? Is that what you're...
No. No covert action here. Nothing sleazy.
Okay.
Open source intelligence. I am the Pope for open source intelligence. That means creating ethical, evidence-based decision support using sources in 183 languages that are legally and ethically available. That's not something CIA does.
Okay. You know, we're all concerned here pretty much about what's going on with Ebola and the FEMA camps. And is this a prelude to the FEMA camps? Is this Ebola virus planned pandemic supposed to be the main course of this FEMA camp invasion on us?
Well, let's divide this into three sections. Section number one is CDC incompetence and lies. Section number two is people with Ebola being disappeared at the border and from hospitals. And I suppose section three would be whether Ebola was weaponized and actively proliferated. The CDC has been incompetent. The CDC told the first responders early on that the N95 mask was what they should use. The N95 mask is good to 0.3 microns. Ebola is a 0.08 micron. So the CDC mask was worthless against Ebola to begin with. The CDC has also falsely said that that Ebola cannot survive outside the host. We now know that it can survive outside the host for several hours, if not days, under cold conditions. The CDC has also falsely said that Ebola is not airborne, and we now know that it is. So bottom line is the CDC has been incompetent and has lied, not just to the American public, but to the first responders who have an absolute right to expect the truth from the CDC. The NIH is equally worthless. The doctor that is the primary mouthpiece for the NIH is a worthless medic. He's been proven to be incompetent, if not liable legally, for getting it wrong on HIV and AIDS. I have absolutely no confidence in him. He should be fired. Now, moving on to the FEMA camps. I don't know if the FEMA camps are being used. I am not a conspiracy theorist that worries about this a great deal, because it's been clearly established that there are not enough guns on the planet put us all down or lock us up into FEMA camps. This was originally something that was created as a budget scam with the idea that they could put 5,000 illegal aliens into FEMA camps overnight. And we now know they can't. But what does concern me is that there are increasing reports, and Alex Jones is one of my heroes, and he has put out some reports on people talking about anyone with Ebola symptoms at the border or in hospitals within the United States being disappeared by the CDC. And I don't know the truth of the matter. I have no direct access. But it does seem to me that the president of the United States got very, very scared about public pushback. And he may have authorized some draconian methods that are unconstitutional in violation of habeas corpus and just downright stupid.
So, in other words, you think the government's making these people disappear to get Ebola out of the
country? At a minimum, I think the government is taking them away and putting them into a secure area where they cannot become a media sensation. I do not put it past the government to put a bullet in their head and burn their bodies.
Okay. Well, yeah, you being in CIA, that would be something prevalent to tactics that have been used by them.
No, I'm sorry, but I'm very uncomfortable with your assumptions. There are seven CIAs, and one of the CIAs does rendition and torture. I was not a part of that CIA.
Okay. Well, fill us in on the different fields of CIA that there is out there. I know that there are some shady people in our government, and unfortunately, there are a lot of good people in our government also that understand what's going on, and they're putting out the truth, just as yourself.
Well, I've written a post that's easily found at Phi Beta Iota. If you look for search 7 CIAs, you'll find it. The largest CIA is the legal, ethical CIA that consists of good people trapped in a bad system. These are the spies, the analysts, and the science and technology people, as well as the administration people. That's communications and information technology. And then you have a Wall Street CIA, you have a White House CIA, you have the Safari Club CIA that does rendition and torture with Saudi money. You have the drone CIA, which has a 98% miss record. 98% of the people they kill with drones are innocent women and children and men, old men generally. Then you have a couple of other CIAs that I'm not going to go into. But the bottom line is there is no such thing as a monolithic U.S. government. There's no such thing as a single CIA. It's all very, very murky.
Okay. And your reports were saying that Ebola was pretty much lab created in a sense, or am I mistaken on that?
Please do not impose on me original information. Everything that I have spoken about and everything that my contributing editors have published at Phi Beta Iota is generally secondary information. It's derivative information. And what we have seen is a number of reports about Ebola being weaponized. Ebola is almost certainly a natural disease that emerged out of animals, perhaps in part because of deforestation. It was captured in blood samples by the U.S. Army weapons people, and it may have been weaponized, and it may have been re-released as part of a eugenics program. I don't know. I have no direct access. Please do not exaggerate.
Okay.
So I'm getting very uncomfortable here to the point of hanging up. There is no question but that there is a great suspicion right now that Ebola was released in the vicinity of the diamond mine that was just discovered in Liberia, and that it might be a part of a depopulation scenario. I don't know. It's certainly okay enough to ask if that's the case, but I do not know myself.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry if I'm being intrusive in any way, shape, or form. We're not trying to, you know, assume anything here on the show. We're just trying to get an understanding of what's going on. And
I tell you, I mean, I appreciate that. And the best thing your listeners can do is go to phibetaiota.net and look up Ebola. In fact, Ebola is one of the things that's trending there. And they can see the posts by Owl, Berto Youngman, and several other contributing editors from around the world. I just don't want words put in my mouth. I am a curator of a website. I'm not the original source.
We understand that. You sent out an email about the eugenics and actually there was a report that the World Health Organization and UNICEF were kicked out of Kenya.
Oh, that's a very good report. I'm glad you brought that up. Again, I didn't send out an email. All right. I really need for accuracy here. Phi Beta Iota posted a report from one of our contributing editors. I forget which one right now because we have over 80. But Kenyan doctors have found in a World Health Organization vaccine for tetanus, they have found a substance that causes miscarriages. And so Kenya, in collaboration with the Catholic Church, is denouncing the World Health Organization. Now, this is consistent with suspicions and some evidence, but I don't have the details. You have to do the homework, that Bill Gates and others have been sponsoring a eugenics program against the Third World. And if people will remember, the U.S. Army conducted syphilis experiments on Guatemalan indigenous peoples without telling them. So there is a history here of the United States government doing very evil things with vaccines and injections in the Third World. And I would say that on balance, if I had to choose between 49-50 and 51-49, I'd go with 51-49 against the U.S. government every time.
Okay. I've got a question from a guest in the audience, and he wants to know what your knowledge of the history of the CIA and its possible connections with Wall Street or the Nazi OSS?
Well, the Nazi didn't have an OSS. The Nazis had an SSS. OSS was the Office of Strategic Services, which was the precursor to the CIA. Wall Street, and Preston Bush in particular, has a long history of being pro-Nazi. And in fact, Wall Street made World War II possible. Hitler would not have been able to afford to go to war against the United States and England and everybody else if Wall Street had not helped fund him. So Wall Street funded World War II, just like the banks funded the Civil War between the North and the South. That was a war that should never have happened. Prescott Bush was absolutely a traitor to the United States of America, as were some of the Kennedys. And what happened after the war was the CIA imported over 100 Nazis a year, probably many, many more. And the CIA was instrumental in importing and creating the Nazi Hydra in the United States. The Henry Kissingers and Otto Reichs of today are direct descendants of the Nazi Hydra. The Nazi Hydra also extended to Argentina. The CIA and the Catholic Church and others helped major Nazis escape with all of their loot to Argentina. There's a northern province of Argentina that looks precisely like Bavaria. You couldn't tell the difference if you walked into any one of those towns. And that is where a great deal of them have been hiding out. I recommend the books at Amazon. I've reviewed several of them, including the books on the Nazi Hydra and the books on pink homosexuality. There's a sadomasochistic homosexual trend among some of these Nazis that is of great concern. And I think that by and large, I would say that Wall Street plus a portion of the CIA, not the legitimate CIA itself, but a portion of the CIA, are absolutely indictable for crimes against humanity and for crimes against the Republic.
Oh, yeah, I'm in full agreement on that. I've got another question for you from Oren in Utah, and he wants to know, what is your opinion on Alex Jones's stand that 9/11 attacks were in fact the false flag and an inside job perpetrated by the United States government.
Well, I would certainly agree that the United States government allowed 9/11 to happen. There is an excellent summary post by one of our contributing editors, Mini-Me. If you look up Mini-Me 9/11 Convergence on Google, you'll get right to it. It draws heavily on the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. I'm a member of the intelligence officers for 9/11 Truth. And I would respectfully remind our listeners that it was the families of 9/11 that first called into question the government's story. There is absolutely no question in my mind that 13 countries warned us in advance, 3 months or more in advance, about 9/11. There is no question but that Dick Cheney scheduled a national counterterrorism exercise 3 months in advance for the day so that he could move all the fighter aircraft out of the way and he could let 9/11 happen. The FEMA Emergency Response Center was set up on the piers of New York the night before 9/11. This is a clue. Larry Silverstein was undoubtedly briefed by the Mossad. And he then took out $7 billion worth of insurance, and then in participation with the Bush family, a Bush family member was in charge of security, he arranged to put in controlled demolitions in all three of the World Trade Center buildings, one of which was not hit but had to go down because it had all the SEC files on all of the Wall Street investigations that were ongoing. I don't know the exact origin of the 9/11 plot. It may well have been something that was done by bin Laden, who, by the way, died in 2001. The bin Laden that was allegedly killed in Pakistan recently was one of about seven false bin Ladens. The CIA lied to the Joint Special Operations Command or Joint Special Operations Group. The SEALs knew it, and a number of SEALs have been murdered since, because they understood that CIA had lied to them and that they had killed a theatrical bin Laden. That was strictly a political play. That was Panetta's gift to Obama. It's going to eventually be known as one of our most shameful acts in history. So go on with another question. Bottom line is 9/11 was allowed to happen. We haven't had a proper investigation. I hope I live to see, and I'm a truth and reconciliation guy. I'm not about vindictive justice. I hope to live to see the day when Dick Cheney is properly understood by the American public to be one of the greatest traitors in the history of modern America.
I agree. Let's move on to other things. One thing that's always interested me personally, and that was the Murrah building bombing and Timothy McVeigh and what Timothy McVeigh's role was, because I've known that Timothy McVeigh was a decorated special forces troop.
Right, and I'll agree with you. I think that was a government false flag operation. I think McVeigh was a patsy.
Right, and that was to go against the people that were forming militia groups to overthrow the government. Was that what the?
I honestly don't know. I mean, the false flag trend in the U.S. government is insane. I mean, the FBI offered $3,000 to a retarded Muslim kid to move out from his mother's house and create a terrorist cell. The idiocy and insanity of certain elements of our government cannot be overstated.
Oh. I agree. What can we look forward to in the near future? And once again, just an opinion or?
I'll tell you what. I'm high on America. I have absolutely enormous regard for the average American and the common sense of the average American. I think that the era of top down secrecy, because I said so. The era of abject corruption where every congressman is on the take. I mean, you know, Obama, to give him credit, I think really thought he could make change and hope. And then when he got into office, he learned, as every president since JFK has learned, that he had a choice between the gold and the lead. And within 2 weeks of being in office, he looked like a deer in the headlights. He had been told he was not really the president. So Obama has no power. Obama's a figurehead. But having said that, I'll tell you, I think that we the people are on the verge of retaking power. And I hope it will be nonviolent. But the bottom line here is that with the internet and with all of these things that we can do with these marvelous radio programs and so forth, it's getting to the point that government lies are being exposed sooner and sooner in their cycle. We weren't able to stop the destruction of Libya, but we were able to stop partially the destruction of Syria. The Ukraine is a U.S. government covert operation that's trying to split Russia from Germany. We have no business being in there. So bottom line is, I think over the course of the next 10 years, power is going to shift away from a corrupt government and back toward an honest public.
Okay, another question for you. Bill in Washington wants to know what percentage of your CIA friends and acquaintances support 9/11 truth?
That's a great question. If I had to guess off the top of my head, I'd say 70%.
Wow, that high. That's
Look,
awesome.
I cannot overstate to you how many good people. I'm telling you. There are good people in the U.S. government trapped in a bad system, and these are smart people. It's just that they are as desperate as we are, and they understand that if they speak up, they will be fired, and they will join the 22.4% that are unemployed in this country.
Right. Another question from Scotland. Alexander in Scotland wants to know who killed JFK.
Well, I was just in Scotland, and I'm seriously pissed off that the British government violated the agreement with Scotland and was able to subvert the independence movement. Scotland should be free, and I hope it will be free soon. JFK was killed by a cabal that included Rabin from Israel, George Bush Sr., who was present in Dallas on the day, J. Edgar Hoover, the pedophile that founded the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Lyndon Baines Johnson as the lead protector for the group, and of course, New York money and Texas energy. JFK managed to create the perfect storm. He was an honest president who was trying to get us out of Vietnam. He was trying to stop illegal nuclear shipments by CIA to Israel. He was trying to bring the military-industrial complex under control. He was trying to control the financial crimes out of Wall Street. He was set up by the CIA on Bay of Pigs. Bay of Pigs never had a chance to succeed. CIA betrayed the president and betrayed the public on the Bay of Pigs. But because of the Bay of Pigs betrayal, Kennedy had the Cuban mob based out of New Orleans mad at him as well. An element of CIA, not the CIA itself, an element of CIA closely affiliated with the Cuban mob, the Cuban exiles, in partnership with the mayor of Dallas, whose brother had just been fired by Kennedy, in partnership with a number of other parties, set up an operation that set Lee Harvey Oswald up as a patsy. Oswald was the only guy that did not test positive for gunshot residue in the entire affair. Oswald did not kill Kennedy. Kennedy was killed probably by Hunt, who accompanied Bush for the rest of his life. Kennedy was killed by his own government, and Lyndon Baines Johnson covered it up. The New York Times and everybody else was complicit in this cover-up. And I believe that one of the things that we need one day is a reinvestigation so that the American people can understand that their government assassinates its own presidents and then covers it up.
With that being said, was the attempt on Reagan's life also a George Sr. Event, because I've heard somewhere down the stream.
It's a very, very good question. Without direct knowledge, I would give that a 51% or better probability.
Yeah, I heard that the Hinckleys were their neighbors or something.
Look,
in Texas. So
there, you know, we have two criminal dynasty families in the United States. The Bushes are one, and the Clintons are the other. The crimes that the Clintons committed out of Arkansas cannot be understated. The murders associated with Hillary Clinton are 50 and over. 50 or more people have been murdered in direct association with Hillary Clinton. You cannot understate the corruption and criminality of our two-party tyranny.
Wow, wow. I've got another question from Samantha in Chicago, and she wants to know, Robert, she's concerned over the vaccines in America. How many countries got them from U.S. demand them to GMO-free without
I don't know the details, but we recently published three headlines at Phi Beta Iota. On the CDC, there's a new whistleblower out from the CDC that has confessed that the CDC has known for over 10 years that vaccines produce autism and have other issues. We also have a huge literature on how vaccines contain a number of elements that are hostile to human health. The bottom line here is I no longer trust the U.S. government. I no longer believe the U.S. government is capable of telling the truth. I know with absolute certainty that half the time the U.S. government is lying to the public, whether it's on unemployment or the health of food or the reasons for going to war. So what I would say is that the entire vaccination program worldwide is suspect. We need a restoration of electoral integrity and government integrity in the United States. Until we have that, I would tend to avoid, like the plague, anything offered by the U.S. government.
Would that also include medications and things of that nature, poisonous meds? Are we being fed poisonous meds?
Look, the McDonald's hamburger will kill you, okay? So part of the problem is that all of the food that the U.S. government has approved, including, in fact, Walmart has recently taken some hits. And Whole Foods, because people are doing independent laboratory testing now, and they're finding that the poisonous metals that are in Whole Foods are way above even the U.S. government's low standards. So what I'm telling you is we've lost our integrity as a country. There is no corporation today that I would trust to deliver anything that is up to standard.
Wow. I concur. All right, we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the caller.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a few things that I wanted to ask you about. First of all, is the Ebola crisis, and I mean the crisis itself, not the actual Ebola virus, is it real at all? Or is it completely a fabricated media crisis to bring in these vaccinations, potential gun control legislation, money for big pharma, troops in Africa, potentially martial law? Is it real at all?
Well, you know, that's a wonderful question. And I think that the answer is it's half real. What I think happened is that there were plans to have a false flag attack within the United States, and there were plans to simulate some sick people. And then a real Ebola thing came in, and the media went nuts, and we had a massive national panic, and it scared the crap out of Washington. And so they backed off on their original plans. Certainly, Ebola has been well handled by a few people, and it has been very badly handled by CDC. So, As I said on Alex Jones several weeks before the first Ebola victim in the United States, I anticipated a false flag Ebola attack that would then be used as a justification for a draconian quarantine measure. I mean, habeas corpus no longer exists in the United States of America. This is no longer a democracy. We no longer live under the Constitution. This is now a dictatorship of the Wall Street banks using the two-party tyranny as their best of the servant class. So I think the Ebola crisis is not real in the sense that it was manufactured and it was easily controllable and it got out of control. That scared everybody, and then it stopped the false flag attacks that were planned. We still have, the government still has the ability now, if they think you have a cold, actually, if you have a cold and they think you have Ebola, they can lock you up forever without due process.
Right.
Okay? It's a troubling time.
So they can
I ask you about the campaign in Liberia that they have going on where they have the slogan, Ebola is real, on T-shirts, on signs. They have people with bullhorns driving around Monrovia, you know, yelling out the window that Ebola is real. They even put a public service message on phone calls. So before you take a call, the government gives you a message that Ebola is real. And this is basically because Liberians don't believe that Ebola is real. They think it's completely fabricated, and we're being told that people are basically, you know, dropping dead, you know, everywhere over there, and they're going through this campaign to convince even the people there that it's real because they're just not seeing it.
Well, again, it's complicated because when governments lie to you over and over and over and over again, you stop believing them. Okay. I mean, what we have right now is a crisis of legitimacy. The U.S. government is absolutely illegitimate. Nobody believes anything the U.S. government says. The same is true of many foreign countries. Now, I have to give a lot of credit to Liberia and Nigeria and a few other countries who, despite the massive incompetence and corruption of the World Health Organization, were able to get a grip on the Ebola disease that they did have in hand. Whether Ebola started as a weaponized Ebola released by the United States or released by unethical contractors to try and basically depopulate an area with diamond mines, I don't know. What I do know is that the Liberian people and many others have their own common sense, and they have an understanding when there is a manufactured crisis. And so I think what we have here is a mix of a manufactured crisis and a real crisis. And the two collided.
People, because in the past they've been told about other disease crises where they did take vaccinations and ended up losing children due to the vaccination, not because of any disease process, that maybe now they're like they fear just believing
Absolutely.
That any disease exists.
I
can I ask you also about the vaccines? Because normally a vaccine takes 20 to, you know, 10 to 30 years, actually, to or even more to develop. And they're going to rapidly produce this vaccination. Isn't that just so that in the future?
I consider that highly suspect. I consider it fraud. I absolutely would not allow U.S. taxpayer money to be used in that way. But, of course, I have no say.
Okay.
Great. Let's let's take a quick break. Are you done? Are you done, caller?
Well, I'll go now, but I just wanted to know if you could address the use of the color green in the crisis to create an association.
I have no knowledge.
YouTube. That's it. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Robert Steele, former CIA agent here on the BBS Radio Network. This is Rock Ash. We'll be right back.
Got questions? The library's got answers and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network with my guest, Robert David Steele. Robert, we left off on Ebola. Let's talk about some older issues like the Vietnam War, John McCain sending weapons to Syria. What's going on?
I honestly don't have enough knowledge, but I would say that we have no business being in Syria. We have no business destabilizing Syria. We have no business allowing Saudi Arabia and the Zionist government of Israel to own our Congress and tell our Congress what to do. John McCain, from where I sit, has lost his mind. He's no longer completely competent. He should not be chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He's a warmonger. He does not have the best interests of the American public in mind. I believe he abandoned over 1,000 U.S. prisoners of war in Vietnam when they became too expensive. So all things being equal, I think the American public should rise up and demand that the United States bring all of its troops home and get out of the war business.
I agree. I want to ask a two-part question on that. The heroin trade and the heroin business out of Vietnam. I heard heroin coming back in body bags, and also we know that Afghanistan heroin is flourishing. The numbers are outstanding in comparison to what they were when the Taliban completely stopped the growth.
Well, that's right, and one of the things that I think happened in Vietnam is that two really bad things happened in Vietnam. The first is that CIA learned how to leverage drugs and launder money in order to create off-budget surpluses. And the second thing that happened in Vietnam is that we learned how to use Brown and Root and other contractors to smuggle drugs and arms and do other bad things, including building prison camps for rendition and terrorism and torture. Afghanistan, I just reviewed two books. I'm the number one Amazon reviewer for nonfiction. I read in 98 categories. And I just finished reviewing two books on Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan in 2013. I was the only analyst in the entire U.S. system that anticipated that Karzai would never sign the bilateral security agreement. And this, of course, sent all the chimpanzees above me nuts. Afghanistan drugs were created by the United States of America. The entire opium supply of Afghanistan is there because the United States of America lacks the balls to be serious about this. Now, you have to understand that the reason the government lacks the balls to be serious about this is because drugs provide the liquidity for Wall Street. Drugs are the foundation for Wall Street's having loose cash. Michael Rupert is one of those who has written about this in Crossing the Rubicon and other books. And so we have to understand that when the United States goes to war, it's not going to war in the public interest. It's not going to war to accomplish a worthy objective. It's going to war for two reasons and two reasons only. The first is to make money for Wall Street, and the second is to use up the military so it has to be bought again. That's why we went into Vietnam. That's why we went into Iraq.
Wow. That's more information than I perceived. The war on drugs, was that also just another war to take over the cocaine cartel?
That's a good question. I mean, every war on drugs, war on poverty, you know, all of these things are frauds. The war on terrorism, I got thrown off Fox News early on when I said the war on terrorism was a fake. There is no war on terrorism. What we have in Washington is a finely tuned, very corrupt machine that is skilled at picking the taxpayer's pocket and transferring wealth from the individual taxpayer to the banks and the corporations that provide a 5% kickback to Congress. Every single senator and representative, led by John McCain, gets a 5% kickback on the war machine.
Wow. Wow, that's phenomenal. Okay, I got another question. Robert in the UK wants to know, if you were a CIA agent, how could you be saying all of this about Ebola, 9/11, JFK, et cetera, without being harassed, threatened, or even killed by the U.S. government? Wouldn't they consider you a traitor?
Okay, well, first off, let me say that I'm a CIA officer. Unlike the FBI, which calls its people agents, in the CIA, agents are people who agree to commit treason for money. I'm a CIA clandestine case officer, former CIA clandestine case officer. Second, I'd say 70 to 90% of the people in CIA like what I'm saying because they are honest, good people, and they are furious with the George Tenets of this world who prostitute their office and who, in the case of George Tenet, he willingly went along with lies that Dick Cheney was telling, and he refused to deliver to the president the truth that was known within CIA about the fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction. So to a certain small extent, I am a voice for the good people within CIA who are being screwed over by their political masters who have no integrity at all. Third, I would normally have stayed undercover for life. I've signed a lifetime secrecy agreement. I have never violated that secrecy agreement. I'm a reformer, not a whistleblower. But when Alvin Toffler wrote a chapter called The Future of the Spy, which is easily found online, he wrote a chapter on the future of the spy that was built around me, and he called me the rival store because I've been advocating open source intelligence, which is legal, open, ethical intelligence from public sources rather than stealing. The CIA gave me approval to come out from undercover. And in fact, my books, two of which have forewords by senators who were chairman of the Senate Select Committee for Intelligence. That's a clue on why I won't be killed. My books and my resumes are all approved by the CIA's Publications Review Board, which I hold in very high regard. I have never been harassed by CIA. And again, I have to stress there are seven CIAs. As far as I can tell, I'm in good standing with the legitimate CIA, and I really don't give a shit what the other CIAs think.
We love you here at The People Speak, Robert. We definitely love you here. I don't think that George Bush was innocent of the Iraqi war either. I believe that he was in on the intel and the lies and the deception to go to war. I believe that he's a part of this Saudi clandestine.
Well, which one? I mean, first off, you've got to understand that George Bush, the son, has been caught in compromising homosexual positions by the Chinese with his male tennis teacher when his father was in Beijing as ambassador. The man has issues. The man is also adult. I place Iraq and all of the problems that America has suffered on Dick Cheney. I actually think George Bush was a well-intentioned individual who went into office. As someone else once made a joke that George was born with a silver foot in his mouth. This guy is not a rocket scientist. And in fact, I think he was diddled, and I mean that in the most pejorative sense possible, by Dick Cheney. And I place all of this on Cheney. One of my reviews of a book about Dick Cheney called Vice, The Hijacking of the Dick Cheney and the Hijacking of the American Presidency, lists over 20 impeachable offenses that Dick Cheney committed while in office. And it troubles me greatly that the world is not willing to at least retrospectively impeach people from Henry Kissinger to Dick Cheney for crimes against humanity and crimes against the public. There's a wonderful book about George Bush called The Bush Tragedy, and it basically is a psychological understanding of Bush, and it points out that young George is a Walker, not a Bush. And if anyone wants to look at my review, I write summary reviews of books. They can learn a great deal about young George from my review, my summary review of that book, The Bush Tragedy.
But Bush Sr. is a definitely Prescott's child, and we know that he's also very heavily involved in the covert CIA operation. Well, so
Bush Sr. was almost certainly an unofficial cover officer for the CIA. He was certainly tainted in relation to the Cuban criminal gangs. Bush Sr., as best I can tell, there's a DVD called Dark Legacy, which I highly recommend. As best I can tell, there is ample evidence to indict George Bush Sr. today for being a party to the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and I would like very much to see him convicted before he dies.
I would like to see him convicted also. My other question to you is going to be the banks, Israel. What can you tell us about the Zionists and their part behind 9/11, if there was any? Because I remember hearing reports of two missing Global Hawk drones, which were pretty big drones to be missing from an Air Force arsenal in June of 2001.
Well, I will certainly let me play that along several lines. Number one is I don't think those buildings were hit by airplanes. I think they were hit by drones made up to look like airplanes. I think the AIG floor had additional explosives to create a theatrical effect. I'm pretty certain that all three buildings were brought down by controlled demolitions from the bottom up. There's ample evidence that the dogs were removed 2 weeks prior. Controlled demolitions were put in, and all the radio traffic from the firefighters and everybody else documents controlled demolitions from the bottom up. Now, I am not ready to blame the Israelis for 9/11. I am inclined to think that was something that was funded by Saudi Arabia with the assistance of Pakistan. It was a wild-ass idea to create an Islamic nuclear attack on the United Nations. There was at one point a discussion of running an airplane into a nuclear plant on the east coast of the United States. This is apparently what broke the nerve of the planners, and this is what caused them to formally declare the problem. And to their enormous surprise, Dick Cheney said, hey, this is great. This is my trifecta. So at that point, Dick Cheney took over the foreign-originated plot. Israel was simply, as best I can tell, writing this for the money. Israel made a lot of money on 9/11. There was money made from exfiltrating the gold and jewels and other things from the three buildings. There was money made selling stocks short. There was money made by Goldman Sachs. There was money made by AIG. I'm pretty sure that the $7 billion that was paid out was an insurance scam. Insurance companies are not stupid. There is no question in my mind but the insurance companies that paid the $7 billion to Larry Silverstein were a 100% complicit part of the 9/11 tragedy, and they should be held liable at some future date. Israel sent people to film the event. They may have had some silly ideas about exacerbating the event by planting bombs on a bridge and elsewhere. But on balance, I put 9/11 on Dick Cheney and the Saudis.
Great. I've got a caller on line one, Philly. Are you there?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, I'd like to know what your guests thought of the recently released yet short-lived movie called Kill the Messenger about Gary Webb.
Uh-huh.
And about the cocaine being brought in by the CIA.
Yeah.
What he thinks about Edward Snowden, and most specifically about the Snowden affair, is his revelation that all of our data goes to Israel. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll listen offline.
All right. Let me. You're spot on everything. Gary was a great journalist, and again, the New York Times and other journals are scum. I hold the New York Times in great disdain. It has zero integrity, apart from being a Zionist media outlet. Gary Webb had it right, and Gary Webb, when he committed suicide, managed to shoot himself twice in the head, not once. Gary Webb was absolutely correct. Now, to give Deutsch credit, I appeared in a Hollywood movie, The Last White Hope, and that was about Ricky Ross, who was making $2 million a day processing the Nicaraguan cocaine into crack for the poor people of Los Angeles. When John Deutsch appeared in Los Angeles to tearfully say that CIA had nothing to do with the crack cocaine explosion, he was largely correct. This is an example of the illegal CIA, the closet CIA, if you will. General Al Gray, Commandant of the Marine Corps, who came up through special operations ranks in Vietnam with the dark side of the CIA. And again, you have to understand that CIA and FBI both have their own inner dark side that is not under the control of their respective directors and that does very evil things using the authority of the CIA and the authority of the FBI, but not actually sanctioned by the directors or by the president. So what we know is that Al Gray was allowing the use of El Toro Marine Corps Air Base for contractors to fly C-130s full of drugs into the United States of America from the Nicaraguan leaders, including Blandón. And that cocaine was then being turned into the black market and processed into cocaine. And the money was being used to buy arms, which were then shipped back to Central America and other places, and Iran-Contra, and so forth. Now, I do want to mention that John Kerry gave up his integrity. John Kerry was in charge of the Iran-Contra investigation. All of this information was presented to him by Gary Hart and Plumlee, one of the pilots, and many others. John Kerry was asked by the leadership of the Democratic and Republican parties to close down the investigation. And Kerry agreed. And when John Kerry, today our Secretary of State, our rather worthless Secretary of State, when he agreed, a staffer said, "Why did you do that?" And John Kerry's words, as have been quoted in open sources, were, "This guarantees me a place on a future presidential ticket." Okay? This is the kind of leadership we have in Washington today. These people will kill their mother and burn the body in order to advance their own personal interests. I am just disgusted by Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and Barack Obama and their Republican counterparts. Now, you asked about Israel getting everything. Look, you got to understand the U.S. government is stupid and lazy. And Israel has some very, very good information technology people. And beginning with Promise, which is a software that Israel had backdoors built into. And this story is told in a book that I've reviewed on Robert Maxwell, Israeli Super Spy. Israel has made it an art form to not only buy or blackmail every congressman that we have, every senator and every congressman, but Israel has also managed to sell not just the U.S. government, but police departments across the USA. Israel has sold them information technologies that essentially allow Israel to suck every single bit of data that NSA collects and every single bit of data that an average police department collects back to Israel.
Well, why would they need that?
Because it is their way of blackmailing the shiksas, One of the things you need to understand in order to understand why Israel was willing to attack the USS Liberty and murder U.S. sailors on an unarmed surveillance ship. I learned this from one of my tennis team partners at Muhlenberg, which was a Jewish pre-med school. I asked him why he was a swordsman first class and an Orthodox Jew. And his words to me were, shiksas don't count. For Israel, for Zionist Israel, the United States of America, and every U.S. citizen is a shiksa. We don't count.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, I've got two more callers we're going to try to squeeze in real quick. Mike from California, line two, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Steele. My God, you have to come back. This is one of the most interesting shows I've heard so far, my friend. My question is, for someone in California, Jane in California, she wants to know, is ISIS genuine? Is it a grassroots organization?
No.
Or is it a front for something?
No, it's not. ISIS, and again, here, I have to tell you, I credit my intelligence colleagues with being honest and truthful. They have told the president that ISIS is not a threat and that we should not be in Syria. ISIS is, in fact, a creature of Saudi Arabia. What we have is a war going on between the Sunni and the Shiite versions of Islam. And I would remind the American public that Iraq, which was majority Shiite, did not become destabilized and did not release the majority Shiites to join Iran until Dick Cheney chose to invade Iraq. Dick Cheney did more good for Iranian Shiite Islam than any person on the planet. And so, no, ISIS is not a threat. The United States government is lying to the public. We have no business being in the Middle East. In fact, there's an excellent book by Ambassador Mark Palmer called Defeating the Real Axis of Evil, in which he points out that there are 42 dictators on this planet, and the U.S. government is best pals with 42 of them. In our name and at our expense, the United States government is the single greatest friend of dictators worldwide.
Wow. All right, let's move on. Whitney from Boston, go ahead.
Hi, Robert. My question to you is this. You said that drones were flown in the building to look like planes. What happened to all those people? And my second question is this. What is the ultimate goal of the United States with regards to Ebola, 9/11, and the Middle East, et cetera? What is the ultimate goal? What is the U.S. government's intentions?
Okay. Well, first off, there is no real evidence that all those people died. I've cleaned up after airplane accidents, helicopter accidents, and in the case of the Pentagon, there were no body parts, no luggage, no seats. Okay. There were no airplane parts. All right. So I believe that all three, actually all four, because the alleged flight that went down in Pennsylvania, my special operations analysts looked at the photos and they said it looked like a large hole had been dug and a dump truck full of parts had been dumped into that hole. There's absolutely no evidence that all these people died. Now, in the case of false flags, when you want to claim deaths, usually what you do is you arrange to move the alleged dead people into witness protection or you give them other lives. My bottom line is there's no evidence that anyone actually died, just as there's no evidence that anyone actually died in the Boston bombings or the Connecticut school exercise, which was an unoccupied schools where the first responders were not even allowed into the school. Now, as far as the ultimate goal in the Middle East is to spend money and get people killed and control the oil. We're still working on a neoconservative Zionist agenda that is totally against the best interests of the U.S. public. And I tried in 2012, I actually ran for president very briefly, and you can find everything I believe in at bigbatusa.org. But I ran for president not because I wanted to be president, but because I wanted to pull everybody together on one thing, which is electoral reform. We in the United States live in a two-party tyranny. I had to run for president to find out that there are eight accredited parties in the United States, which means they've earned more than 5% of the vote and they're eligible for federal matching funds. Constitution, Green, Libertarian, Natural Law, Reform, Socialist, and then, of course, the Democratic and Republican parties. And half of the voters now are independents. Almost all of us are barred from the ballot. So the bottom line here is the U.S. government is in enemy hands. It is not in any way, shape, or form of, by, or for we the people. And electoral reform is the only legal, nonviolent option for taking this government back. And that's what I believe in.
All right. I'm sorry. We're running out of time. We're running out of time, Robert. We want you back here anytime you want to come back. This has been a wonderful show. We really love what you have to say. We thank you for your honesty and integrity. And hopefully we'll see you back on again. Don't forget to join us next week. John Barbour, TV and radio host, will speak about his association with Jim Garrison and the Kennedy assassination. Join us next week here on The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network. Signing off with our awesome sound engineer, Don Newsom. Have a good week.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.